piezoluminescence. Why would the body go to all this trouble to make a third eye with the same tissues and light-sensing mechanisms as the retina if there was nothing for us to see in there? What are we really seeing when we dream, have an out-of-body experience, or get sudden images flashing into our minds? And why were ancient cultures all over the world so obsessed with this gland as the center of our psychic vision? In a 2002 study published in the Bioelectromagnetics Journal, S.S. Baconier and Associates may have found the answer without even realizing it. They dissected 20 different human pineal glands and found 100 to 300 microcrystals per cubic millimeter that were floating inside, largely composed of a common mineral called calcite. Each of these crystals were between 2 and 20 micrometers in length, basically hexagonal in shape, and were very similar to other crystals we find in the inner ear called otoconia. These inner ear crystals are known to be piezoelectric, which means they expand and contract in the presence of electromagnetic fields. The hairs inside the inner ear detect sounds when the otoconia bump against them as they move around from the vibrations picked up by the eardrum. Piezoelectric crystals can be used to tune in to radio stations without any electricity. The electromagnetic waves that are jittering all around us make these crystals expand and contract constantly. These movements can then be detected and amplified to make sound. Microphones also have piezoelectric crystals that pick up sound vibrations and turn them directly into electrical current. Some, if not many, piezoelectric crystals also give off varying amounts of light in a process known as piezoluminescence. This can be seen in a handheld lighter. When you push the button down, a spark of light comes out, which is caused by compressing a piezoelectric crystal inside. Through a process called piezochromism, some piezoelectric crystals release different colored photons from the same crystal depending upon the signal they receive. So far, these piezoelectric color changes have only been spotted in crystals under high pressure. According to the Royal Society of Chemistry in the United Kingdom, these piezoelectric color changes have been observed in a few systems but have not been exploited in any commercial way. So far, no one has needed to make a microscopic computer monitor or video projection system, for example. Baconier's calcite crystals may not be the only potential source of light in the pineal gland. Some scientists, such as Dr. Rick Strassman, suggest the pineal gland may also secrete a psychoactive chemical called DMT, though this has not yet been proven due to how fast it breaks down. DMT also appears to release light by piezoluminescence, as we will see. Dr. Lawrence Johnston discussed the controversial idea that the pineal gland creates DMT, which is chemically similar to melatonin and serotonin, two chemicals that appear naturally in the pineal gland and appear to be synthesized by it. DMT is structurally similar to melatonin. The biochemical precursor to both molecules is serotonin, a key neurotransmitter whose pathways are involved in mood and targeted in the treatment of psychiatric disorders. DMT also structurally resembles other psychedelic drugs, such as LSD and psilocybin, and is the active agent in ayahuasca brew Amazon shamans use to provoke out-of-body experiences. Trace amounts of DMT have been found in humans, particularly in the lungs, but also in the brain. Strassman emphasizes that the pineal gland is theoretically more capable than virtually any other tissue to produce DMT, including possessing prerequisite biochemical precursors and transforming enzymes. However, we do not yet know for certain whether DMT is made by the pineal. DMT may very well be the resin that Manly Palmer Hall said the ancient mystery schools were looking for. However, I am definitely not an advocate of taking psychedelic drugs, as they can be very dangerous and upsetting. There are spiritual practices that achieve similar effects in a positive way, and I'd rather use what I already have naturally and safely. However, I was fascinated to discover that Nick Sand, the son of a prominent scientist on the Manhattan Project, found that DMT had enormous piezoluminescence, and apparently color-shooting piezochromism as well. Sand was the first underground chemist on record to have synthesized DMT. Sand and a lab colleague were the first people to notice that DMT exhibits piezoluminescence. When hardened DMT that had collected in a tray was being chipped out with a hammer and screwdriver in a brightly lit room, the blows emitted massive amounts of colored light. Since the pineal gland is not protected by the blood-brain barrier, flooding the bloodstream with DMT may load up the pineal gland with piezoelectric microcrystals. This in turn may cause the third eye to pull in many more photons, which might be emerging directly out of the source field thanks to principles we have not yet discussed. DNA also appears to be pulling in photons by a similar process, as we will see. Baconier's groundbreaking pineal gland studies helped set the stage for this speculative idea of how the third eye could actually be seeing photons of light. If piezoelectricity were to exist in the pineal calcite microcrystals, an electromechanical coupling mechanism to external electromagnetic fields may be possible. These crystals could be responsible for an electromechanical biological transduction mechanism in the pineal gland due to their structure and piezoelectric properties. For this same reason, Baconier expresses deep concern about our use of cellular phones and other microwave-emitting devices, as they may couple directly with these piezoelectric crystals in the pineal gland and change how they function. This could interrupt our synthesis of melatonin with negative health consequences. Health consequences of pineal gland calcification. The more we find out about the pineal gland, the more important it becomes in human health. Until relatively recently, the pineal gland was considered a vestigial organ lacking function, i.e., the brain's appendix. Then, scientists showed it produced melatonin, a hormone that profoundly affects us. The pineal gland converts the amino acid tryptophan into serotonin, a neurotransmitter, and in turn, melatonin. The melatonin then is released into the bloodstream and cerebrospinal fluid, where it is transported throughout the body. The release is closely correlated to our sleep-wake cycle. Researchers have actually found magnetite clusters near the pineal gland. Like homing pigeons, humans have residual ability to orient to geomagnetic directional cues, an ability lost with pineal dysfunction. Because the gland accumulates fluoride, it contains the body's highest fluoride concentration. Research shows that this accumulation depresses melatonin synthesis with adverse consequences, such as accelerating puberty onset. Because pineal dysfunction and, in turn, low melatonin secretion are correlated with MS, multiple sclerosis symptoms, pineal failure may predispose one to MS. For example, Dr. Reuven Sandick, New York, has stated, "Dysfunction of the pineal gland can explain a far broader range of biological phenomena associated with MS, and therefore the pineal gland should be considered the pivotal mover of the disease." Sandick suggests that MS severity may be related to the degree of pineal failure. Clearly, MS is associated with pineal calcification. For example, one study showed 100% of individuals with MS who were consecutively admitted to a hospital had pineal calcification, compared to only 43% for similar-aged controls with other neurological disorders. In addition, groups that have a low MS incidence, e.g. African Americans, Japanese, also have less pineal calcification. Fluoride, such as you get in tap water and commercial toothpaste, is very likely a no-no if you want a healthy pineal gland. Fluoride apparently passes directly into the pineal gland through the bloodstream, where it then attaches itself to the tiny crystals that are already floating around inside and covers them with hard mineral deposits, creating the white, bone-like lumps we see in X-ray images. This may damage the pineal gland's ability to synthesize the chemicals we need. Fluoride may affect the enzymatic conversion of tryptophan to melatonin. Fluoride may also affect the synthesis of melatonin precursors, e.g. serotonin, or other pineal products, e.g. 5-methoxytryptamine. In conclusion, the human pineal gland contains the highest concentration of fluoride in the body. Whether or not fluoride interferes with pineal function in humans requires further investigation. As your pineal gland fills up with brain sand or calcification, such as from fluoride, you may well be losing your ability to produce melatonin, and that is definitely not a good thing. One study in the Journal of Pineal Research revealed how many problems could be caused by pineal calcification and malfunction, including depression, anxiety, eating disorders, schizophrenia, and other forms of mental illness. Collectively, these findings suggest that melatonin probably is significantly associated with the regulation of memory, cognition, and also involved in emotional processes. These findings emphasize a specific role for melatonin in mechanisms of consciousness, memory, and stress, and are also consistent with reported studies that indicate melatonin alterations in psychopathology, mainly in patients with depression, schizophrenia, anxiety disorders, eating disorders, and also in other mental disorders. For example, in many studies, decreased melatonin levels in patients with depressive disorder were reported. Typical melatonin alterations have also been found in schizophrenia and suggest that diminished melatonin secretion may be associated with the pathophysiology of a subgroup of schizophrenic patients. Characteristic alterations in rhythm of melatonin secretion have been found in various mental disorders. I learned in 1995 that emotions like happiness don't just happen automatically because you want them to. They are controlled by chemicals in the brain. If your brain doesn't have enough serotonin, you will be chemically incapable of feeling happiness, even if you have many things in your life that should otherwise make you feel good. I had no idea how important the pineal gland was in manufacturing serotonin, and therefore in how happy we will feel, until I did the research for this book. Nicholas Giarman, a professor of pharmacology, and Daniel Friedman, a professor of psychiatry, confirmed that the human brain manufactures serotonin at various sites in the brain. For example, in the thalamus, they discovered 61 nanograms of serotonin per gram of tissue, in the hippocampus, 56 nanograms, in the central gray section of the midbrain, they found 482 nanograms. But in the pineal gland, they found 3,140 nanograms of serotonin per gram of tissue. The pineal gland was unmistakably the richest site of serotonin in the brain. This discovery implicates the pineal gland as an important site of serotonergic, serotonin-forming activity. These same scientists also found even more connections between the pineal gland, its serotonin levels, and various mental disorders. An absolutely shocking discovery was the correlation between high serotonin levels in the pineal gland and certain mental disorders. The average amount of serotonin found in the pineal glands of normal persons is about 3.14 to 3.52 micrograms per gram of tissue. One schizophrenic was found to have a pineal gland containing 10 micrograms of serotonin, around three times higher, while another patient, a sufferer from delirium tremens, had a pineal gland containing 22.82 micrograms of serotonin, around 10 times higher than the average amount. The same study also established a direct connection between serotonin levels in the pineal gland and tremors, such as tardive dyskinesia, Parkinson's disease, and even epileptic seizures. They found several studies showing significant differences between the severity of dystonic movements, tremors, in patients with no pineal gland calcification and those with pathologically enlarged pineal gland calcification. Many health professionals have discussed the problems with calcification in the body. In the worst-case scenario, it can even create painful conditions like gout, in which your feet and toes have so much calcification that they form crystals that hurt when they break. The most important key to eliminating calcification is a healthy diet. If you drink lots of purified water, you help your liver and kidneys flush out all these toxins. Eating a diet of fresh, organic, raw foods ensures you won't have pesticides and preservatives accumulating in your body and creating mineral deposits. Dr. Weston Price found that many traditional undisturbed cultures had much higher bone density from eating their native foods. Their teeth stayed beautifully straight without any need for orthodontics, and they hardly ever got cavities without even brushing. As soon as processed Western foods were introduced into their diets, such as refined sugar, white flour, non-organic dairy, and factory-farmed meats, their teeth became crooked and started to rot out of their heads. Thankfully, by going back to a pure, natural diet rich in traditional foods, including organic animal products, we can actually reverse these problems and decalcify the pineal gland. Dr. Price identified a compound he called Activator X, which is also now known as vitamin K2, in these traditional foods, which seemed to be the key ingredient. If you're a vegetarian, you can get it from organic butter oil, harvested from cattle who feed only on fresh, organic, rapidly growing grass. Meat eaters can take fermented cod liver oil or ratfish liver oil, which is even better. Price also recommended combining land and sea, butter oil and fermented fish liver oil, for even stronger results. Activator X is also found in organic grass-fed eggs and meat products. In his book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, Dr. Price reveals controversial photographs of people who apparently reversed tooth decay and regrew enamel once they restored Activator X into their diets. Arterial plaque, the great killer in heart attacks and strokes, could also be cleaned out, and pineal function greatly improved by decreasing its calcification. As we look over the information in this chapter, there are compelling avenues for new research. I want to make it clear that I do not consider the source field to be some abstract, metaphysical idea. I agree with many Russian scientists who have concluded that the source field is directly measurable as a spinning current within gravity. It appears that the more you screen out the influence of electromagnetic energy fields, the more sensitive you become to the information within the source field, perhaps through the pineal gland, as the ancient traditions suggest. Considering all the information we have surveyed in these last three chapters, the obvious question we now must ask ourselves is this: what is consciousness? Where is the mind getting its orders from? And what may be a hidden, ongoing form of post-hypnotic suggestion from some other aspect of ourselves? Are thoughts happening in the brain, where they then generate an energy wave that can move through the source field? Or are we actually using the source field to think and even share a collective mind with all others as well?